While many people are buoyed by increased housing sales in the month of July, the housing situation of millions of low-income Americans is more fragile than ever. Those residing in Section 8 housing may face increased rent or lose their homes altogether as federal funds dry up. Section 8 housing is defined by federal rental assistance from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. To make up for the increased demand in assistance, HUD is apparently dipping into emergency funds and the federal stimulus package passed this February. But even that is expected not to last to the end of the year. Across the country, thousands of families are on waiting lists. In Chicago this week, more than 800 people camped out in the rain, waiting to apply for Section 8 vouchers, many of them working poor. In New Hampshire, the housing authority there cut the amount of aid, forcing families to pay more for rent. There are now 10,000 families on the waiting list for housing vouchers in that state. Here in Los Angeles, the demand is so great that for nearly 5 years now, there has been a freeze on new housing vouchers. My guest is Susie Shannon. She is the housing and homelessness advocate with the Los Angeles Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. She joins me in studio. Welcome to Uprising, Susie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I sort of was talking about the story as the biggest crisis that you haven't heard about, particularly here in Los Angeles. And I mentioned some stories from New Hampshire, from Chicago. I was reading about Tennessee as well. How bad is it in LA?
It's awful here. I mean, I can't even stress what drastic circumstances we are in here. We have 72,000 people who are homeless in the county and 40,000 who are homeless in the city. Our Section 8 voucher program has been frozen since 2004, and they are now interviewing people who applied in 2002 to 2003. So there is no place to send anyone at this point. We have 45,000 Section 8 vouchers that the Housing Authority for the City of Los Angeles is holding. And
how many?
45,000.
Okay.
And there is a set aside for the homeless of about 4,500. And what happens is that the Housing Authority contracts with 20 different agencies to try to make sure that people who are homeless actually get prioritized. But that, unfortunately, now is a frozen program as well. And so even if we get people, manage to get somebody into one of those 20 agencies, which are usually shelters, we can't actually end up getting them into permanent supportive housing. So what happens is that they just move from shelter to shelter until they've timed out in the shelter. So you can usually only stay there for a certain amount of time. And then they're back on the streets.
Let's step back for those who are not even familiar with Section 8 housing. I mentioned that basically this is a federal rental assistance. So basically it's a federal program under the Department of Housing and Urban Development that provides vouchers that the federal government pays into to subsidize rental housing. And that's a stress, right? It's rental housing. And it is meant to make it affordable. Are the vast majority of those who take advantage of Section 8 housing working people, or are they homeless people who may not have jobs?
Well, there's both. You have to have some kind of income, and usually that would either be in terms of public assistance or you could be working. And the way that the program actually works is that you pay one-third of your income toward the rent, and the government pays the rest.
Okay, so it's not a handout. I mean, it's
no.
A help.
Exactly. It's
you
a
still
help.
Have to have one-third of your income going into rental.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so somebody who's on, let's say, for instance, somebody who's on general relief here in Los Angeles, they get about $225 a month, basically, to live on. And then a third of that would go toward their rent, and then the rest would be picked up by the Housing Authority, which gets its money from the federal government. But one of the reasons why we see a crisis right now is that a lot of people are losing their job. And so if they're on unemployment or they're on public assistance, the amount that they put toward their rent actually is lowered. And so a lot of housing authorities across the country and, you know, particularly in Los Angeles, our housing authority here is in crisis. And so they don't open up new vouchers because they don't know if they can fund the ones that they have.
Right, because since it's a percentage of the income, as income goes down, the federal government has to make up for that lowered amount that the renter can put towards their housing. And of course, that the poor economy also means more people being pushed out of their homes that they might have owned with high foreclosure rates. So new people trying to get housing. Why has the program in Los Angeles been frozen for nearly 5 years? years. I mean, the recession didn't hit that hard till a year ago.
They just have not had the funding. One of the things that HUD did during the Bush administration was to underestimate how much they needed. And so there was a huge decline in how much was actually going to housing vouchers. We have been, LA Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness, have been part of the movement to add an additional 200,000 vouchers nationwide to the pool. And that is stalling, actually, because HUD, under the Obama administration, has told us that they don't have the funds to actually fund the 200,000 additional vouchers, which is about $1.6 billion.
And do you believe them?
Well, I mean, this is a case of priorities. We're right. spending $2 billion a month on just the military operations for Afghanistan. And when you put that in context, for what we spend for 1 month in Afghanistan, we can house 300,000 people a year. So when you look at it from the lack of priorities, we actually need to get our priorities straight in this country and make sure that we're housing people. A large percentage of people who are homeless are children. And so we want to make sure that particularly families and children get into housing that's needed.
So, Susie, to summarize, it seems as though, at least here in Los Angeles, those who don't have anywhere to turn, whose incomes have fallen so drastically that they can't afford housing, don't have any recourse because they can't apply for Section 8 vouchers. Those have been frozen. And then people who already have the vouchers but may have lost their jobs and are relying on the government to pick up the cost, they are also in jeopardy because the funding for the entire program may dry up sooner than we think.
Exactly.
What about these estimates that the funding may dry up by the end of the year nationally?
Well, what's happened in the past is that when that happens, usually HUD will move for an emergency appropriation from Congress. And so we're hoping that will happen again. There is $1.5 billion that was given through the Economic Stimulus Plan, and that is actually for homeless prevention and rapid rehousing. And what that means is that it's temporary housing from 6 to 18 months. And so, you're funding for 6 to 18 months, and then they're back on the street again and homeless. So,
And that didn't go necessarily towards the Section 8 program?
Right, exactly.
Okay. So at this point, what do people in Los Angeles do? They just end up going from shelter to shelter, but I'm assuming the shelters are also at their full capacity.
Right. And so we have obviously a number of people on the street who are just living on the street and can't access services.
You said 72,000 in L.A.?
Yes. It's actually 74,000 in the city of L.A., in the county of L.A., and 40,000 in the city of L.A. who are homeless.
Hmm. What needs to happen? I mean, Bush didn't fund this enough. Obama is not prioritizing this enough. What needs to happen aside from, of course, the congressional emergency appropriation? What would an ideal scenario look like to you at a time of economic recession and prioritizing people's lives?
Well, we definitely want the Obama administration for fiscal year 2011 to fund the 200,000 vouchers per year. And what we're asking for is $200,000 vouchers per year for 10 years to get us 2 million vouchers. We have 3.5 million people who are homeless nationwide. 1.4 million of them are children. And we need to actually start looking at this and prioritizing the people who are on the street.
And going back to what you were saying about the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq as well, in a way, the anti-war movement is sort of part of this struggle, would you say?
Absolutely. And what is interesting to me is that the only bump that we're getting in vouchers is through the VASH program, which is Section 8 vouchers for veterans, and they're giving 15,000 nationwide.
So, Susie, now at this point, your organization, the LA Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness in Los Angeles, on housing and homelessness, what recourse does your organization have? What work do you do to try to end this?
Well, we have a very difficult time, obviously, placing people into permanent supportive housing, but we have managed to have a few successes, which is great. You know, it's, you know, for every 100 people that come in, you know, if you can help 5 or 6 at this point, it's considered a victory. It's just, it's very, very difficult in this city to actually get anyone into any kind of housing.
And also, what would you talk to, in terms of those who do have the Section 8 vouchers, what are their rights and how do they find out what their rights are? Because I can imagine it's a pretty difficult thing to navigate when you're working with various agencies and a lot of paperwork.
It's actually really difficult. I mean, we find that, you know, the tenant organizing and rights around Section 8 is a little more difficult than, say, public housing, because you're more scattered with Section 8. And so it's much harder. We get a lot of calls from people who want us to advocate on behalf of them with the housing authority, particularly people who need to move. Maybe there's a landlord-tenant issue there or a harassment issue. Or landlords. I mean, the one thing about the Section 8 program is that a landlord can opt out at any time. And that leaves the tenant having to scramble. And the other thing, I mean, I know you talked about the foreclosure crisis on homeowners, but there is, it's also a foreclosure crisis on landlords who own buildings, and the tenants then get caught sort of in the crossfire of this. So that's another issue that we deal with.
My guest is Susie Shannon. She's the Housing and Homelessness Advocate with the LA Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness. I made a mistake with the name of your organization earlier. Apologize for that. Let's talk about this issue that you just brought up about how so many people who are in Section 8 housing don't have the difficulty organizing. What's the threat to that type of housing? I understand that there's been a lot of conversion of the kind of housing that folks with Section 8 vouchers have been living in to the sort of mixed income residences. And in a way, I mean, we can call it gentrification.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, this happens more with the project-based Section 8. Mm-hmm. So there's two types of Section 8. One is a voucher program. So you as a tenant can take your voucher and you can go anywhere you want to any building where a landlord is willing to take Section 8. The project-based is building-specific, and the landlord actually has a contract with HUD. And so basically, if at any point, you know, at the end of that contract, the landlord decides to opt out, all of this affordable housing then will become privatized, and, you know, unfortunately, the people that are living there need to move or they need to pay market rent. And this is happening even more so with public housing, and that is actually in the process of being privatized and has been privatized. And the interesting thing is that there are a lot of things that we look at in terms of education, like whether or not to have vouchers and to privatize a lot of the public space. And that's actually being played out a lot in public housing right now.
And public housing, the difference between public housing and the Section 8 projects?
Well, Section 8 is a voucher program where there is a contract between a tenant and a private landlord. Mm-hmm. Public housing is housing that's actually operated by the government. And we really
So if it's operated by the government, how is it being gentrified?
Well, what's happening is that with HOPE 6, which was legislation that moved for the rehabilitation of a lot of public housing that they felt was dilapidated, what happened was that they basically put a mandate on the housing authorities to create these mixed income communities. And what that meant basically for us is that, you know, if you have 72,000 people who are homeless and there are people in the middle class, you know, who have opportunities to get into housing, what they try to do is to sort of mix all of these groups together. And it's kind of counterintuitive. I mean, if you're at the emergency room and somebody's having a heart attack and another person, you know, cut their finger, you want to take the person who has a heart attack first because that's the priority. And so from our perspective, the priority is people who are homeless and getting them into housing. And so we want to make sure that public dollars go to people who need it the most. And what's happening now is that the public housing is being land leased out to private companies. And those private companies, and you know, some of these contracts are about 55 years, then run that entire public housing complex. They get all of the subsidies, but they also build market rate housing on that public land and sell it. And they have some market rate housing that they rent out as well.
So that's less space for those needing public housing.
Right. And there has been a big movement now in the rehab for one-for-one replacement, because a lot of times they were tearing down these buildings and what they would replace was not the same number of units or the same number of bedrooms per unit, which is another issue. And so, you know, what we were finding was they were building, you know, new complexes that had one and two bedrooms so that they would have, you know, smaller families or no families coming in.
So that would be replacing bigger homes.
Right. Hmm. And the problem with that is that when you have a large family, say there's, you know, six or seven people in a family, it's going to be very hard for them to find Section 8 housing. It's going to be very difficult for them to find a landlord who is renting an apartment that's so large that it can accommodate that large of a family. And so larger families actually really need to rely on public housing. And so it creates a terrible situation for large families where you can't get them into Section 8. You can't get them into public housing because a lot of the newer buildings are being you know, built for smaller families.
Finally, Susie, where can listeners find out more about your organization? And do you just basically recommend that people start pressuring, if they aren't already doing so, the government, pressuring Congress to prioritize people over the corporations that are getting bailed out, the wars that are being funded?
Well, the House of Representatives has passed their appropriations package, but the Senate has not. And so if you want to call, you know, Dianne Feinstein mm-hmm. and Barbara Boxer, that would be a good first step to let them know that we care about these issues. I mean, they hear about us from us on a lot of issues, but this particular issue on poverty and housing is really, really important right now. And so if we can get any kind of appropriation at this point in the Senate, that would be a good step forward.
And your organization, where can people find out more?
They can find us at www.lacehh.org.
That's lacehh.org. That stands for the Los Angeles Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness. Susie Shannon is the Housing and Homelessness Advocate at that group. Susie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.